The sleepy village of Rennes-le-Château hides a secret that powerful forces have protected for centuries. When Cotton Malone's quiet life as a Copenhagen bookshop owner is shattered by a knife-wielding assailant who commits ritual suicide rather than be captured, he's pulled into a deadly mystery spanning continents. His former boss Stephanie Nell needs his help investigating her late husband's obsession with this French hamlet and its connection to the Knights Templar. What begins as a simple favor quickly escalates when a colleague is murdered and they discover they're being hunted by a secret society that never truly disappeared in the 14th century as history claims. What could be worth killing for after 7 centuries? The answer lies beneath an ancient abbey where evidence challenging the very foundations of Christianity has been hidden since the Crusades.
Besant. This battle cry spans from medieval battlefields to a Copenhagen tower where a modern knight commits suicide rather than face capture. The Knights Templar, founded in 1118 to protect Holy Land pilgrims, became medieval Europe's wealthiest organization before King Philip IV and Pope Clement V supposedly destroyed them in 1307. Barry reveals an alternative history. The Templars never disappeared, but retreated to a hidden Pyrenean abbey, continuing their ancient rites in secret for 7 centuries. This modern order maintains the original hierarchy, with officers including the Master, Seneschal, and Marshal. Their mission revolves around guarding the Great Devise, something discovered beneath Jerusalem's Temple Mount that could undermine Christianity's foundations. Now, a power struggle divides the Brotherhood. The ambitious Raymond de Rocafort challenges the moderate Seneschal for leadership, believing their long silence must end. He intends to use their secrets against Rome and restore Templar glory. Perched atop a steep hill in the French countryside, Rennes-le-Château became a hotbed of conspiracy theories after parish priest Berenger Saunière inexplicably acquired enormous wealth in the 1890s. Despite a meager annual income of 250 francs, Saunière somehow spent over 700,000 francs renovating the church and building an elaborate estate. The Church of Mary Magdalene features strange elements that appear deliberately placed as clues. A demon Asmodeus statue beneath holy water, angels performing an unconventional sign of the cross, and an enigmatic inscription reading, "By this sign ye shall conquer him." Inside stands what Malone calls a theological funhouse, stations of the cross with coded messages, and a devil's head that seems to watch visitors. Lars Nell's obsession led him to buy a house in the village and research connections between Saunière's discovery and the Knights Templar through the de Blanchefort family. A key piece of evidence was Marie-d'Hopel de Blanchefort's tombstone containing "Et in arcata ego," which rearranges to "I tego arcana Dei," Latin for "I conceal the secrets of God." Malone and Stephanie discover that researchers who probe too deeply into these mysteries often turn up dead. The investigation breaks through when Malone identifies a numerical pattern in Saunière's clues. The recurring numbers 7 and 9 appear consistently throughout the upside-down Visigoth pillar, Marie d'Hopel's gravestone, and church stations with dice showing these numbers. After working through the night, Malone applies this numerical key to a cryptogram, decoding the message, "Templier Trésor Enfoui au Lagustus." Templar treasure can be found at Lagustus, an anagram for St. Agulus Abbey. Beneath the abbey's altar lies a precise geometric arrangement, 7 stones across and 9 down, concealing a wooden hatch leading to medieval underground passages. These connect to 2 chambers, one containing remarkable Templar artifacts, the other housing ancient texts predating known Christian writings. The most significant discovery is an ossuary inscribed with "Jesus, son of Joseph" in Aramaic. Inside are preserved human remains and the Testimony of Simon, a 1st-century manuscript presenting a human account of Christianity's origins that contradicts the divine resurrection narrative central to Christian faith.
Have you ever wondered why the four Gospels contain so many contradictions about crucial events in Jesus' life? From his birthplace, Bethlehem or Nazareth, to details of his crucifixion, to discrepancies in resurrection narratives, these inconsistencies have troubled scholars for centuries. The novel's most provocative revelation suggests the Shroud of Turin actually bears the image of Jacques de Molay, the last Templar Grand Master. This image formed when de Molay was tortured by the Inquisition and wrapped in ceremonial burial cloth, a common practice for martyred religious figures. Cassiopeia challenges traditional crucifixion narratives through historical inconsistencies. Despite thousands of documented Roman crucifixions, only one skeleton has ever been found. Roman practice left victims unburied as a deterrent, making Jesus' burial unusual. His quick death, hours versus days, raises questions, while John's unique account of the lance piercing, absent in other Gospels, suggests later theological additions. The Templars had accessed texts excluded from the canonical Bible during the Council of Nicaea, including alternative Gospels that presented Jesus' actual teachings, more human and revolutionary than church doctrine, representing the true source of Templar power. In the climactic confrontation beneath the abbey, Mark traps de Roquefort using the monastery's ancient defensive systems. The zealot falls into a concealed pit lined with bronze stakes, a medieval mechanism designed to protect the abbey's secrets. Though troubled by taking another life, Mark recognizes the necessity. De Roquefort's use of Simon's testimony would have sparked a religious crisis, destabilizing both the Catholic Church and Christian-Islamic relations. The conclave's unanimous election of Mark as the new master marks a turning point in the order's thousand-year history. In the Grand Chapter Hall, where centuries of decisions have shaped the Brotherhood, Mark accepts leadership with a progressive vision, emphasizing transparency over secrecy and service over power, promising to redirect their resources toward humanitarian causes. Geoffrey's burial in the Hall of Fathers breaks with tradition. This sacred space, previously reserved only for masters who died in office, now welcomes a knight who exemplified the order's highest ideals through sacrifice. The ceremony features ancient Templar burial rites not seen in centuries. Barry skillfully blends historical fact with fiction, creating a narrative where reality and speculation intertwine. The Knights Templar's documented history, Saunier's mysterious wealth, and gospel contradictions provide solid historical foundations for his story. The controversial theory about Jacques de Molay's image on the Shroud of Turin adds historical intrigue. While the Abbey des Fontaines is fictional, Barry's geographical and architectural precision grounds the narrative in reality. The Dotpoole family's Templar connections, Abbe Gilles's unsolved 1897 murder, and Saunier's church renovations are all verifiable historical events woven into the story. What makes this tale compelling is how it challenges us to question established narratives. How much of accepted historical truth has been shaped by those in power? What forgotten realities might lie beneath centuries of constructed legends? As Cotton Malone drives through the misty French countryside, he senses his connection to these ancient mysteries remains unbroken. Like him, we're left wondering where the boundary between faith and fact truly lies, and whether some secrets are better left buried.